Welcome home, brains, to On the Edge with April Mahoney, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Today's guests, Joanne Fields from San Diego and Stephanie Schelling from Los Angeles, California. And we're going to talk about this thing called the census, brains. This thing right here. I got my notice in the mail, okay? We're going to talk about it. What it means, what is the purpose, the pros and cons, why we should, or maybe, I think we should, but some people are just going to throw it in the trash. So let me tell you what the census actually is. This is based off of their website. What is the census? The 2020 census counts every living, sorry about that, everyone living because they can't count them if they did, all right? So the 2020 census counts every person living in the United States and five U.S. territories. The count is mandated by the Constitution and is conducted by the U.S. Census Bureau, a nonpartisan government agency. The 2020 census counts the population in the United States and five U.S. territories. So that includes Puerto Rico, American Samoa, the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands, Guam, and U.S. Virgin Islands. Each home receives an invitation to respond to a short questionnaire online, by phone, or mail between March 12th and March 20th. Participants in the census is required by law. Even if you recently completed another survey from the Census Bureau, a complete and accurate count is critical for you and your community because the results of the 2020 census will affect community funding and congressional representation and more. The census provides critical data that lawmakers, business owners, teachers, and many others use to provide daily services, products, support for you and your community. Every year, billions of dollars in federal funding go to hospitals, fire departments, schools, roads, and other resources based upon the census data. The results of the census also determine the number of seats that will be in the U.S. House of Representatives, and they are used to draw congressional and state legislative districts. Again, but it said it was bipartisan, right? It also is in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 2, that mandates that a country conduct a count of its population once every 10 years. The 2020 census will mark the 24th time that the country has counted its population since 1790. Now, our panelists today are spirited, okay? And we're gonna talk about it. We have Joanne Fields, who is, let me make sure that I get it correctly. She is the National Outreach Director, correct?
Yes, for the National Federation of Filipino American Associations. NAFA is the acronym, and it's equivalent to the NAACP for the African American community.
What? The party ain't raging unless you got some Asians. All right, I love my Filipino community. We have a strong Filipino community here in San Diego. And then we have Stephanie Schelling. Now, Stephanie is from my hometown, you know, the 213. Well, now it's 323 or whatever the area code is, but she's from Los Angeles, California, and she works with law enforcement. She works with nonprofit and civil service organizations, so we want to see how this is also disseminated to her area. She lives in a very unique part of Los Angeles that is not African American inspired, okay? Very, very different. And she's also done some work with regards to safety and security with large events there, surveying them and protecting people. So brains, help me welcome my guests to the edge. We got Stephanie and we got Joanne. Here we go, ladies. You ready?
Yes, I'm excited about it.
I am too, because we're going to get into it. So Stephanie, tell us a little bit about you, baby, and how you show up in the world.
Well, I'm just kind of a server of all things. But what I do typically is advocate for folks, specifically in the spiritual realm, but having to do with the brain, the mental aspect of things and how we see them, right. And also how that kind of sort of has a domino effect on the systematic construct that we live in and how, you know, different groups of people are impacted by that. And so I do a lot of also having worked with 911 for 15 years as a dispatcher, kind of sort of see as well how that kind of is woven into our law system and just trying to understand and walk with people through the inequality of it all. And, you know, it's a lot of people have a problem with what is said and then what is actually done. And so we kind of sort of see that. I had seen that even when I had gone to some meetings with the census, where I work, we're getting into the census this year. And so I had my own questions because I never had, you know, those things come in the mail and it looks like junk mail. I'm like, this is important. How does it, why is it looking like, you know?
Right. And why am I looking at it and want to tear it up and throw it away and right. not realize how impactful it is.
Right. And
now, you know, me and you have been on the ground in the 4th District for a long time, ride or die. Look at that. She got on a military gear.
Hey, we are at war.
Exactly. We are at war.
Corona 19, we are at war with the lack of resources. Mm-hmm. And it's been challenging even before this pandemic. So with COVID-19, it just makes it even more challenging for our community to get the services that we deserve as taxpayers. Right. So we'll get into the census and how that all plays out, because it's so much information that I appreciate this opportunity to give nuggets. How does it pertain to first responders? How does it pertain to this pandemic? How much money do we get? How is it allocated for small businesses in our community? So we'll get into that today, and I'm excited about it.
Right, and the underlying trickery that there may be, that's why I come in, okay? That's why I come, you know, agree. I have y'all show up on the edge. That don't mean I'm gonna agree with you, because we agree to disagree, but we don't show up disagreeable, because again, this is a learning opportunity, and you cannot make an informed decision, brains, unless you got complete information.
Right.
However you want to roll with that, that's with you. But me and my sisters here, we're going to get into it. All right. So now, I gave a complete definition of what the census is and what it's for. It was very valuable to me because I traced my family back to the 1800s, 1839. And what was unbeknownst to me is that I wasn't a Negro. I'm an Indian. Okay? A Creek Indian from Andalusia, Alabama. I traced my grandmother, her family, her siblings, all the way to a slave internment camp in Alabama, and then where they lived in Florida. My grandfather was a police officer. Then they moved to Ohio. All of this information was documented. You know, they called her a negress. They didn't call her a Negro, okay? But she was Native American. I wouldn't have known that unless I traveled back and found out. It told about their education. It told about how many people lived in the household, gave their address, their geographical location, I think also to their economic status. So all of it was very, very valuable. And I wouldn't have never known that if they had not completed the census. However, there's a lot of people out there now that are afraid. There's a lot of undocumented workers. Mm-hmm. That are not trying to get a bullseye put on their back, mm-hmm. Okay? There are multitudes of families living in households because they can't afford it to any other way to survive. They're mm-hmm. scared. There are people that are ignorant to it. And I tell you all the time, the word ignorant only means not knowing. It doesn't mean that you're stupid. It means that you have not been informed. There's a lot of people coming from different countries that are not citizens of the United States or were born here or naturalized here. They don't want to have anything to do with it. Then there's other people that have no idea how important it is. So Joanne, I went through all of this. Break it down to us. Why should we be proactive and fill out a census form?
So if you want to really go back in time, especially how you have just said that or stated that you learned about your family history. So that's one other benefit of participating. But you did mention slavery. Have you heard of the Three-Fifths Compromise? The Three-Fifths Compromise, and I'm just Googled it, so I'll read it verbatim, is defined as an agreement that slaves in the southern states of the United States would only be counted as three-fifths of a white person.
Right.
Or you weren't even counted. Blacks were not counted as a full person because when they recorded the population in the census, by doing so of only three-fifths, the southern states would control more seats in the House of Representatives, meaning they have the power in Congress. And then, but they may not count you as whole, but they will tax you as a full person.
No, they gonna tax your butt as a person and a half.
That is what took place back then. And it was mandated by law. So it was wrong. It was wrong to do that. So when we hear now the definition as you read it, that we need the population count so that representation in Congress is divided by its boundaries by population, that's why we need to be visible. That's why we need to be counted as a whole person, as a whole community. Because in this instance, in COVID-19, if they said they were locking down, San Francisco went first, right? They said 7 million people shelter in place. How do you know there's 7 million people? How do you know how many first responders need to take in when they projected as it spreads? We're going to have hundreds or maybe thousands of cases. How do you know that? We're not guessing. It's projected by census numbers that's only taken once every 10 years. So when you move around the country and they're looking at New York is a hot spot, Chicago is a hot spot, New Orleans is a hot spot, the resources have to move around. But when the governor or the mayors ask for money, request for money to buy the masks, to get the resources into the hospitals in the form of staffing and beds, how do you know how big or small of a community that you need to contain COVID-19? So that's just one instance of how these numbers are used. And then now that we have small businesses impacted, again, how do we know where they're at? How many people are impacted by lack of resources? It's the census. So it doesn't sound like much when we read definition and states on the website, but when we give nuggets of information of how it impacts us, like you, because a lot of people will say, okay, you say $675 billion in federal dollars are out there, but what's in it for me? I don't have $675 billion in my pocket, but yes, it is.
There's a problem.
But you wouldn't know if we weren't talking about it,
right?
But you wouldn't get it anyway if you don't fill it out. So right. We need to educate and motivate our communities of color to participate. And this year, this decennial, it's the easiest census survey in its history. There's only nine questions, and there's nothing asked about citizenship. There is no question about legal papers. There's only your name, your age, ethnicity, your race. Do you rent or you own your place? But they need those nine questions asked. So again, we can project the needs of the community.
Okay.
I was just watching CNN now and they said 1 million Latinos in New York are impacted by COVID. Well, if you need an emergency announcement and you have 1 million Latinos out there, you should have some emergency announcements in Spanish.
Absolutely. Right? So Stephanie, I want you to chime in and tell us what is your perspective and what has been your experience, especially working with a nonprofit organization. You know, there's grants out there. It's really based upon a lot of philanthropic efforts of other individuals that are making these donations, but also that there's grants, there's resources, you have to service the population. Tell me what's going on there, and also tell me about Koreatown, the community that you live in.
Well, I think the first thing that, you know, I grew up in Los Angeles, but I, like most citizens, was not really into the census. And what I find is that many people in the community are just unaware, but there's also not an interest. And there's not an interest because there's no trust in local, federal, or state entities. They just don't trust it. And it's great in its concept, the census, and being able to have certain monies allocated. But oftentimes, the urban areas don't see, there's a disparity. They don't see the money. They don't see it. The information about the different programs within the community is not really put out there. It's something you have to go search for. And there's just a lot of hopelessness that I find. You know, we have to really kind of geek up the people, and then they have questions when there's a program. You know, they're afraid to take advantage of things because they think it's going to be something that's going to come back and get them. And I'm not even talking about the immigrants. You know, I was so shocked when I was reading about this stimulus that anyone that has a tax ID number, they could not apply. They were not eligible. But like they said, they'll tax the whole person, like Joanne just said. Right. But they're not gonna let you have any benefits from what, and they want you to keep on working.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And so, how do you what my overall thing was is how do you function in a system that you can't trust?
Right.
You know. And when I began to read more about the stimulus and more about how it is allocated, the whole gerrymandering thing came into play, because it's great that you have the statistics out there, but the purpose behind them and who holds that is the issue, you know. And so you can have something that's great, and if the person that has a great heart and a great brain is going to do the right thing by the people, it will work, right? You know, but if you have it in the wrong hands of an administration that only you can't trust,
right.
I mean, you know, I was even reading the questions, and for some reason, I don't know why, maybe I'm just paranoid, but even question number 8 about the Hispanics and everything, it was just so, you know, I'm like, you know, it's just, everybody is afraid.
Right.
And that's the
right.
Sad about it.
Okay, because right. There's some trickery going on. But I want to ask you also, too, about the community that you live in. Now, I'm originally from L.A.,
mm-hmm.
And you live in a community called Koreatown.
Right.
Let me tell you, Brains. From day one, I admired this community because they are segregated. They have their own banks. They have their own signs. They have their own grocery stores. You know, their own property there. If you are not of a certain ethnicity, you can't even rent that property.
Right.
Now, how you going to roll like that?
Right.
It's what I want to know. But then you are still eligible for government funding. But you segregated yourself. Now, I'm not picking on any particular, you know, for you get all crunchy. I'm not picking on any particular race. I'm just talking about how this community has built itself inside
of
the community.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And are still eligible for these resources.
Yes.
Now, going back to you, Joanne, you're very passionate about it. You do great work with what you're doing. But I also found something very interesting. Now, you worked on the census in 2010, and here you are back 2020. I worked it in 2010, and I was surveying the African community. And, you know, I go to the restaurant, everybody's sitting there, I'm giving my little spiel as to why they should do it. They look at the form, they see no box that says African.
Mm.
I said, you know, me, just check the black box. Oh, no. Oh, no. We are not black Americans. Oh, really? Until it comes time to get some resources, you know? No, we do not do that. Where is the box that says African? Okay, so I understand that too, but This was devised as a United States of America program and census. If you've come in by any means, you know, refugee, visitor, whatever the situation may be, but you come in, but you still want to separate yourself mm-hmm. and be counted separately. Tell us, how do we bridge that gap? How do we find, you know, equality for all in these communities? Because a lot of people go into these communities where they're familiar. Asians usually are more comfortable among, you know, Asian groups. They speak the language, the food, the culture, all of that. Blacks, you know, Hispanics, they migrate in these pockets. Mm-hmm. How do we disseminate that and make it equal and fair for all of us?
So with the census, in 2000, I was a recruiter. 2010, a partnership specialist. This time around, I prefer to work through our community organizations. So here in San Diego, we have a coalition called the Count Me 2020 Coalition, where Governor Newsom has supplemented outreach efforts on top of what the U.S. Census federal level is doing. So the equality that we are all seeking is to make sure we are all counted. Whether you're a refugee, whether you're a citizen or not, when you call 911, they're not asking for citizenship. You're asking for help. So if you need police, they're coming. If they're asking for an ambulance to take them to the hospital, they're coming. That takes infrastructure. And that infrastructure is paid by the local municipality. So again, when we say that there's communities where there's pockets of Africans or Asians or the Latino community, it's trusted voices like yourself, myself, and other organizations and individuals that are out there stomping the grounds to make sure people have an understanding of how the census helps them. In terms of nonprofits, if you're writing a grant, and you say in East County of San Diego, we need help for the Chaldean community. If you're a reader in Sacramento, know nothing about San Diego, you may be looking into the census and look at how large of a Chaldean community are we talking about. 20 years ago here in San Diego, we didn't have that large of a Somali community. We do now. That is very visible, especially in City Heights. So when we have groups like PANA or the Somali Family Service Center coming up and providing services, it's because there's a need. So how do you defend the need in a grant or a sponsorship request without backing it up with numbers? That we have 10,000 more refugees from the Somali community now living in San Diego. We've heard across the border, where we have refugees coming across the border. They're all not Latino. There's Haitian refugees that are also trying to come across and receive services and support. So the census helps us define the need, but we can't define the need if we're not counted. Right. So trust, let's talk about that too. Yes, there is a lack of trust, especially with this administration. But if you are applying for Section 8, who are you applying to? Just the federal government. They're going to ask you for information that the census does not ask. The census does not ask about your income. The census does not ask about legality. The census does not talk to your landlord to see how many people may be living in your apartment or house. So it is up to us to educate again. Educate and motivate the community to participate. This time around, there's only 9 questions. Last go around, there was a short form and long form. We need to really convince our community to participate, because without the numbers, and when you talk about disparity, there's a disparity because there's an undercount. It's an average of $2,000 per person per year. So 2,000 times 10 years, $20,000. $20,000 times another 10, the number keeps growing of the lack of resources. Right. So when we see a community that is underserved and under-resourced, we need to look back at what was the status. And that's another tool this time around for the census, that we can monitor the response. they don't have our names, but they know the neighborhoods of who has mailed a form. You might have got a form or an invitation. There's a way to monitor response. So that's helpful for this time around.
And they know who lives there. I mean, mine said to the resident at, but believe and trust, they know, okay? And all they got to do is look on Facebook. they don't even have to go to anything else. All they got to do is, because everybody done put all their information. But Stephanie, let me ask you some questions here. Now, you have worked with the police department. You've worked with 911. You've worked as an advocate for security and safety in these large events. How are you seeing the money allocated, just from your perspective, from your window of the world?
Well, there always seems to be no money until there's something that is pressing, and then they find millions of dollars. I've never seen anything like it before in my life.
2 trillion, girl.
I don't
know. 2 trillion.
Even on the city level,
and they I
remember when we used to work overtime and, oh no, we couldn't work it for cash anymore. No money. And right. Then all of a sudden you find $11 million. Well, where did it come from? How did you know what I mean? So there's always these questions, but I wanted to, if I could, ask Joanne a question about how the funds are how prisoners are counted. Joanne, can you tell me how prisoners or folks in jail are counted
There's a phase called group quarters. And because of COVID-19, the operations timeline has shifted. The update that we received on a media call just last week is that the group quarters will be taken in June. So June, they will go into the prisons and work with the warden, work with the staff there to get a head count of who is in prison at that time. Who's in prison?
Okay, so more specifically, with the 10-year, with the decennial, and the statistics saying that most of them will not do 10 years. There's a lot that will not do 10 years. Yet the census is saying here at the bottom, do not count anyone in a nursing home, jail, prison, or detention facility. So if I can't be released unless I have an address, or if I, that's kind of contradictory, because most of these prisons that are counting people, they're going to get the money for them, but they're not necessarily going to be there for 10 years.
Oh, that's actually
a lot of these prisons are privately owned.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So the funds, there is a debate on how they will be counted. If it is by zip code, by where they are recorded at when they are incarcerated. As of this time, and I am not aware if those changes have been made, but the zip code where the prison may be is where the count will take place. So wherever they were, or wherever they are during group quarters is where the resources will go. Not meaning it's for the prison, but for the community that it's in. So like at Donovan here in East Chula Vista, that it would stay in that zip code, which is I think 91913.
But for a college student, they can be counted at home and be gone for 4 years.
No. So wherever the college student is, so if they're in a dorm, if they're going to school here in SDSU and they're in a dorm, they are counted at the dorm. Wherever they lay their head, wherever they reside, that is where they are counted. Whether they are in a dorm or in a roommate situation, they are not counted at home. So when you look at the census questionnaire, they will ask who is residing in your household. As in, they are in the household, not like in taxes, it's separate. This is all separate. It's who is in your house as of actually April 1st for those that are sent the questionnaire.
Okay, and so let me ask you a question, Joanne. I want to go back to the schools. I'll go back to that in a minute. But what is the penalty and liability that you face for not completing it?
So there is verbatim what happens when you don't fill it out. I'm trying to look for it.
Because I read that it was an invitation, and I have turned down many invitations in my life.
And I was also reading where some folks were saying, you know, some people on the news or whatever, they were saying, I just put how many people are in my household and left the rest, you know, left the rest blank. And it's okay if you do that. And people were, you know, the Census Bureau was like, no, it's not okay. You know, I know that I did read that if you have any false information, like a $5,000 fine or something like that. But, you know, people were giving, you know, influential people were just giving their opinion. And the Census Bureau was like, no.
So I'm not speaking on behalf of the census. I'm sharing information. I want to be crystal clear on that, because the only ones that can give you an official word, or the only ones that actually can take the count, our Census Bureau staff. My role, again, is through an organization that is part of the Count Me 2020 Census. This is information that we were trained on. The official word is from the Bureau itself, which is the federal level. There is a Count Me, a Census Complete Count Committee on the state level, and that's where we feed into. But yes, there is penalties. How you respond, there's frequently asked questions of the community that is supposed to be told correctly on the news and by influential people. But again, the census has 9 questions, and 9 questions only. It's up to you if you want to self-report. If you put down the number of people in your household, big or small, and there's information missing, I can tell you the census is going to dig for more. They want complete information.
So or if you want to cross them out altogether, you know, you don't know.
Right. So with that, you got an invitation, you get a reminder, you'll get another reminder. Then you're going to get a invitation on paper mail. So it looks like this, the paper mail. Then if you still don't answer the census after all of those attempts, then you can expect someone to knock on your door. And that is an enumerator. And the enumerators, again, is projected. It could always change because of COVID-19. That's an enumerator. They'll be knocking on your door asking for the answers for those 9 questions.
With their mask on. Don't be scared.
That's on their side, but I'm letting you know you want to complete this form online if you have access to be online. If you're watching us, you have access. You can go to my2020census.gov to answer online, or you can call the toll-free number, 844-330-2020. You're going to talk to a person, knock out those 9 questions per person, 9 questions per person, and then you'll be done for the next 10 years. But
let me ask another question, okay? This is, I found very interesting too. Based upon that, this is also determining, and I've known in the past, correct me if I'm wrong, Joanne, that this determines the geographical boundaries and how many representatives you have for your House of Representatives. Well, I noticed that that's a moving target. You know, again, I guess it's based off population, but that varies. So this is strongly supported and used by political figures and political agencies to determine the money, the resources, and how many people have a vote and have a say in what we do. Am I correct?
Yes, that is correct. There is 435 congressional districts, and each district represents a number of constituents. So that means the population. So in San Diego or in California, we know that we have a very high cost of living, and people have been moving out of California. They've been moving to Las Vegas, Texas, Phoenix. So with that move, that's a population shift, right? So if the population shifts, so does the boundaries, because the population numbers will move. So that's why, again, it's imperative that we do get an accurate count so we don't lose a district, or maybe it's your community that has had a growth. where you need resources, you need a strong representative. So you need that count. So that's what that's about. Yes, there is a shift after this because people are coming in and coming out of the state.
Right. So what's your viewpoint on that, Stephanie? What's your feelings here?
Well, it's interesting for me personally because the meetings that I attended have some differing information that Joanne is offering. As I said, they said that you can count the college students because they're coming home within that 10-year period and they need that money for that one person, the community does, and the same for the prisoners. And as far as the distribution, you know, I was just reading an article where, you know, Congress, they want to push the census back to October. In a way it kind of benefits a lot of them. As I'm understanding it, it looks like it's going to be helpful for the people, but it's really more beneficial financially for.
And it's another distraction because what's exactly after October is November.
The election. And I think that it's so interesting that this whole COVID thing happened in an election year. The census is an election year. Like, I just don't believe that I'm just one of them. I don't believe it's an accident. I don't
believe in a coincidence.
Yeah.
And it started on Friday the 13th. It started during the time of Lent, you know, the resurrection. We still ain't got back to normal. Now, again, we're not, you know, this is what you're supposed to do, brains, but we just kind of giving you
right.
So the banter back and forth. So again, you can make your own decision.
Right.
Now, I want to ask you too about how this impacts the schools. It's really going to impact the schools because none of the kids is there now. They homeschooling, okay, for the end of the school year. So how does this money get disseminated down to the schools and education?
When you talk about any of this information, it goes to the federal level.
Okay.
The election doesn't get moved because of it's Friday the 13th, this day, or the COVID came in. There was no, that's conspiracy that I hear, right? But the census happens once every 10 years. No one moved that date. What you heard for October is a pushback on operations because no one could go to work. No one could go into the office. No one can start going door to door. The door to door operations was already supposed to start in May, but we're not moving. They couldn't even finish the hiring because of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So when you hear the pushback and someone else is going to benefit from this, the only benefactors is our community. If you want to part, it's a yes or no question, really. Do you want to participate or not? I'm here
We
you don't know, but I know that it's that important. They're attempting that many times for you to complete 9 questions.
Let me ask
you for more questions.
Let me just say this, Joanne. It's a yes or no question to participate, and I don't advocate that anyone does not participate, because if you do not participate, then in the end, you cannot say anything about the result. It's just like voting. However, we know people cheat when they vote. We know that people don't use the funds for what they're supposed to be used for. How do you have $2 trillion and now the small businesses don't have money? So that is the question for the average person.
The influences within the people. If that's personal. That if we sit back and let somebody else vote in whoever they want to vote in, you want to complain, they didn't do this, they didn't do that. But did you vote at the end of the day? Did you participate at the end of the day?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're saying the same thing. But all of that, you know what that comes from? From people actually participating at one time and still not seeing the results because someone was corrupt. That's all I'm saying. We're making up.
We don't have any control over that because it's been corruption since the day one. I didn't see nobody when they wrote the Constitution. There wasn't a black person there. They were out the building the White
House. They're right there. So if it started there like that, then that's the conversation that you're going to have.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So how do we turn the dial? Okay. Number one, I honor and value you, Joanne, because I know the work that you've done, not just with this, but
absolutely,
you know, all the work that you do. Okay. You are a soldier. Okay. And you for real. Okay. But how do we make people feel comfortable? How are we to go in and assure that the people that we put in charge do what we want to do, or get them the hell out immediately? You know, how do we use this for our benefit? Some checks and balances. Do you have any suggestions?
Again, I really think it's getting people educated on what's at stake. Mm-hmm. It's the trusted messenger that's delivering the message. Mm-hmm. Because if this was coming from a certain party, I already know I don't trust Republicans. Mm-hmm. I got Republican friends. I can trust them.
Right.
But if you're telling me at this president that we ran out of money for small businesses, but I see corporations get millions of dollars, where you were granting, don't quote me if it's 10,000, but we'll say it's 10,000, but other chain stores are millions of dollars. There's a disparity. Yes.
Yeah.
So do we keep that going with this administration, or do you want change? If you want change, then there's steps for change. You participate in the census, you get the count, you register to vote, then you go vote. Then you want change. We hope for change. But if you have another side of our community that wants to debate it down and just not participate at all, well then, that's part of the problem too. How is there change if you just want to sit back and complain and not do anything? So I'm staying in my lane and doing all that I can. I'm not going to debate a person to death when they already have a mindset of how they feel about the census or voting or the representation. But what I know from my experience working in census, my experience working with 5 elected officials that ranges from Congress to our first African-American elected to the state legislature in San Diego and 3 local representatives, I see in grant proposals, I see in sponsorships of small business or coming from small business or from grants from nonprofit organizations. I know you defend the need with numbers. So if we say that our community is not receiving resources and our Somali community has grown by 30,000 in San Diego, I can point to the census for that, right? Yeah. But if I'm just saying this with nothing other than if you go drive down University, you're going to see the community, they're not going to do that. Right. It's by numbers, it's statistics. So that's all I can do. Yeah. I just hope that there are more advocates like us that will go deliver that message. But if there's question, well, then that's something that needs to be changed over the next 10 years. Because I believe
it's a whole mindset. I mean, because
it's a mindset. We're not taught the information ongoing. Like, why don't we have a logo on the hospital or on a bridge or on the freeway that because of the census, we have a new wing at Chula Vista,
right,
that we have a new bridge,
right,
with extra lanes on
805,
because now I can identify, you know what, they kept telling us about the census, but you know what, now I see it.
Right.
Seeing is believing for people.
Right.
So it's up to us to let them see how it impacts our community. So there's still a lot of work to do. So
and I always tell people, you know what, be a solution seeker, not a problem describer, you know, because you can sit there and jaw jack all day long about if I coulda, woulda, shoulda, and ain't did a damn thing,
right?
You know, but sit there and complain and whine and moan, you know, folks out here still don't have their mask on. How disrespectful.
Right.
The other people that you proclaim that you care about. So in closing, Stephanie, give me your closing thoughts on, you know, what you think that we can do to turn the, you know, shift the paradigm so that people are a little bit more positive, a little bit more comfortable, and less skeptical about filling out the census.
Well, I think as you and Joanne both have said, it's educating the people, you know, and it's difficult to get the people out to even, you know, we've had meetings and things, it's difficult to get them out to educate. You got to feed them. The people will come for some food.
Every food drive.
Right.
Food bank. I just got another notice. Joanne, can you help put it out there that we have another food drive? So, I'm like, guess what? You got to put some census flyers in those boxes.
And be sure you got toilet paper and paper towels.
Right. I'm hoping that what she just suggested as far as the logo on things, I'm hoping that that is going to be a reality, because it will make the census real to people. Right. It will give them a connection that, oh, this, the census is working in my community. Because other than you come to me every 10 years asking for my personal business, I don't hear from you.
Right, right.
So that would really make the connection. That would be great.
Right.
That would be great.
And we want to advocate for that, because like when they tell us the babies are the undercount, 0 to 5, but do you realize when our 0 to 5 is counted, we are funding Head Start, federal program, preschool, kindergarten, and elementary school for the next 10 years for that one baby. Mm. But if we don't count, we don't get the after school programs. We don't get the free lunch program, which is also federally funded for the next 10 years. So again, we need to craft the message of what's in it for you. Mm-hmm. What is in it for you? So you realize that you're wondering, why is there such a long wait for Section 8? It's because it's federally funded and it's not funded fully as the population needs. The same with Medicare, Medicaid, our food stamp program, all federally funded. Even if you go to college, the Pell Grant is federally funded, FAFSA to get into college. So there are so many programs, but it's not listed in your booklet.
Right.
We have to figure that. So it took me, this is my third cycle. That means 30 years into this, right?
20
years now. So now that I know, that's why I'm very adamant about this, because mm-hmm. I've seen it when people apply for grants, you didn't give the strong numbers of the need. I've seen it in the form of the lack of hospital beds, like in COVID-19. Mm-hmm. I just read in Imperial County, one county, there's only 2 hospitals, 30 something ICU beds for the whole county. That's scary. So again, we only can feed nuggets. There's just so much to talk about, but I appreciate the time to be able to share what I do know.
Girl, my brains, and folks is looking at the creative television. They are not looking at the underlying message. And that's what we do here on The Edge. Okay. I am tired of the distractions. I'm going to give you the facts. Now, if you don't want to use them, that's on you. But you can never say that nobody ever told you. Okay. Right. So, and that's up to you. Again, you have encouraged me. I'm about to fill out mine because I don't want to knock it on my door. I'm not opening the door.
Before the next generation in your family wants to research their family and Absolutely. They find out Absolutely. That they're Indian, they're going to find out from the census. And now that our community is evolving to biracial and multiracial, mm-hmm. we can check off more than one box. Mm-hmm. And that's going to help, learn about your family lineage.
Right. Right.
And document. That's what's documented. You would rather document yourself than someone else doing it for you.
Or having to go on these websites and put all your information, swab your mouth, got your DNA, all of that kind of stuff to find out who you are.
People will do that. And
they put it all day long thinking it's cute and it's funny. And you done found out you got a booger wolf in your family. But you guys are awesome, Sauce.
Can I ask Joanne a real quick question?
Sure.
Do they advertise throughout the 10-year period about the census? Or do they just wait until the census year?
And that's why I propose. That's an idea that I'm proposing, is that we have a logo that we can identify that, you know what? The census impacted that decision to build a new school. The mm-hmm. census impacted that hospital to open a new wing, or that Caltrans is opening up a new lane on the freeway, like the 91 freeway. They need more lanes on the 91, right? So we should identify, because I participated, this is how it works. And even with the local municipalities, if it's a new park or if it's a new after school program, it's not just because we think it, we need it. Is because we've planned and because we know this population is in the community, and that's why there's growth. So That's something that we can advocate together, regardless of ethnicity, financial status, or where in the region. Because right. The whole United States, like you read earlier, this is counting Puerto Rico. It's a territory. It's counting America, Samoa, and Guam, and the Marshall Islands. So there's so many people impacted by this, and we don't hear it enough as we hear COVID-19.
Right. But you know what hurts me is when you count people in Puerto Rico, but then you can't service them.
That's
all I'm saying about that. So anyway, Brains, I'm telling you, we could go on and talk about this over and over again, and we may come back because it's not over. Joanne, tell me really quickly, when is the deadline? And yes, Brains, I was going to fill mine out anyway, okay? when is the deadline to have this in and completed?
So they pushed it back. I don't have the exact date, but it sounds like it is mid-October. Like you've said, Stephanie, that you've heard the pushback. So October is when the deadline has been pushed back.
Okay. And Brian, look at the people.
July. It was supposed to be in July, mm-hmm. but because operations have slowed and was put to a stop, that it's it looks like October is when it'll be supposed to be done.
Okay. And again, like I said, if you are from an immigrant community, I encourage you to do that because this is going to support you, your community. It gives you an opportunity to be involved. It, you know, yes, it brings heightened visibility, but if your butt wasn't supposed to be over here, you wasn't supposed to be over here anyway, and if you're here, we love you and we want to take care of you.
911, when you call 911, they're not asking for that.
Citizen. Right. They ain't asking for that. Okay.
You want services.
And when you want your kids to go to school, any of us, when they are going back to school, per kid, school lunches, all of that. So you've given so much information. I love you. And again, you are a soldier, ride or die. We're going to be seeing each other and giving each other a big hug again real soon. Stephanie, thank you so much for popping in from Los Angeles, girl, and the work that you do.
Thank you for your work. 30 years is that's a long kind of commitment when you got, you know, you got all those years in the middle and then you re-up again. So thank you. You clearly have a commitment to your community.
Thank you.
You do.
Actually, I am a part of LA. I was born in LA, right? Of Angels.
All right.
Okay, we ain't playing, baby. We are not playing. Ladies are ride or die. Stephanie, do you want to leave any sort of, you know, contact information? Anybody want to talk to you? If you do, you do. You don't, I get you. All right.
My email is alive, L-A-I-V-E, the number 2, tellit@gmail.com. alive2tellit@gmail.com.
She's alive to tell it. She got a lot to tell, too. Check her out. And Joanne, how do they get in contact with you if they want to talk a little bit more about the census? They want to have you on their show, you know? Yeah.
You can always follow me on social media. On Facebook, it's 619 Joanne Fields, JoAnnFields. My phone number, I'll put it out there, 619-884-9886. I don't screen my calls. I'll take your calls. Let's talk about it. I appreciate this opportunity because if we don't talk about it, people just don't know. People just act on what they know. So let's have an informed decision. Hopefully you found the information given today is helpful for you to fill out 9 questions and it plays out for the next 10 years.
All right, Brains, you got to be about it. You can't just talk about it and complain about it. You got to be a part of the change. That's what the Edge is about, influencers and game changers, okay? I tell you that all the time. I need you to go in and subscribe to Everywhere I Am, okay? YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, because I'm digging deep. I'm digging deep to try to get you the information that you need so that we can not only survive, but we can thrive. I love you, ladies. Thank you so much for being here with me.
Thank you.
All right. Be good, Brains. I'm counting on you.